This Sunday is the day on which we remember the baptism of Christ and the beginning of his ministry, and it's also the start of Mark's gospel. And this day, which would seem to offer a lot to preach on, has actually been a source of challenge to many who give sermons. I've heard this from my colleagues, and I saw this in discussion forums in which I participate, and folks were really striving and trying to figure out what they would preach on today. Then, of course, we had the events of Wednesday, and then people thought they knew exactly what they should preach on, and there were messages from our denomination, and all sorts of ministers and preachers and whatnot online said, I'm going to have to deal with the situation in Washington. I felt called to think about this and to sit on it and meditate it before I came to you with anything in the form of a message. And my sense is that it is not the place of the church to involve itself in politics. However, we do need to think about this theologically, and I believe that our scripture passages for today, both the one from Mark and also the one from Genesis, have something to help us think about this stressful moment in our nation's history. You'll recall that Jesus went down to the River Jordan to be baptized by John, that the Spirit of God descended upon him in the form of a dove, and then after he'd done that, the voice spoke from heaven saying that Jesus was his son, and with him he was well pleased. Of course, we find ourselves asking, why did Jesus need to be baptized? Jesus, of course, was without sin, and John's whole movement was about repentance of sin. And my feeling about this is that Jesus was baptized out of solidarity with humanity, with you and me, his brothers and sisters. Jesus wanted us to know that he understands what we're going through, that if we stand in front of the congregation and confess our sins, Jesus knows what that can feel like. Now, Jesus was willing to be talked about and misunderstood. And that's an important lesson for you and me to take. When we're baptized, we are baptized here in the sanctuary. And the child's brought up to the font, and their parents and grandparents, and they're all of you, the congregation. In this church, we do not perform christenings or baptisms of children at home in private ceremony. This is the work of the community. And the parents and the godparents and the congregation all make commitments and promises. They enter into a covenant with one another. Now, covenant is a word that politicians like to use, and I think they're attracted to it because it sounds a little bit more special than an agreement or contract. But biblically, a covenant is something completely different from those forms of entering into agreement with one another. A covenant, as we know it, is something that's struck between God and God's people, between God and you and me. And there's an understanding of what each party is going to do in the relationship, the responsibilities that need to be honored. And we take those on during baptism. As I think about what happened on Wednesday, I am struck by the fact that some of our fellow citizens broke the covenant that we have established with one another in this country. And that was very troubling. The scenes of chaos, of rioters running amok, made me think of the Genesis story, and there's historical and archaeological evidence that there was a great flood that had inundated the Near East and the Middle East at the end of the last ice age. And that primal memory can be found in the stories that are told throughout the region. The difference between the stories that the Hebrews told and what would be told in Samaria or Babylon or Arcadia is that the Hebrews understood God loved humanity. God might be angry with us. God might punish us. But ultimately, God cared about us. And that idea of a connection between humanity and God is something that can be found throughout the Bible. Now, today's reading from Genesis is from the top, from the start of the story. And we hear how God, at the beginning of the story, there was tohu vavohu, or a formless void. It's a phrase that's hard to translate. But that formless void, that chaos, is something that needed to be confronted. And God created light and dark, day and night, and held back that chaos. In the verses that follow today's reading, God created the sky, a firmament that would hold back the waters of chaos from the waters of the earth. In Babylonian mythology, we hear the stories of Marduk battling Tiamat. Marduk was the god who brought order to the world, and Tiamat was the god of chaos. And we don't subscribe to that cosmology now, for obvious reasons, but the idea that, chaos is something that needs to be held back, that it's always threatening us on the edges, is something that we should think about. And we should think about it as Christians, not because we want to replace chaos with order, that we want to introduce some kind of theocratic or police state that would crush dissent and keep everybody in his or her place, but because we recognize that we have responsibilities to one another, and that civilization is something that we need to work to preserve. It's been said that a great society can take hundreds of years to build up, but could be destroyed in a day. And we were reminded of that last Wednesday, as we were confronted with images that shook millions of Americans. One of the things I found most horrible about last Wednesday was that there were people there with flags that said, Jesus 2020. And as I watched what was going on, I thought those people would not want Jesus to actually head up a political party. Jesus would have been opposed to them. Jesus, who looked out for the outsider, for the people who were often shunned, for the sinners, for all of the people that would be denigrated by the folks who were protesting, Jesus would not have been welcome at that gathering on Wednesday. And I think that our call as Christians is not to find ways to excoriate our opponents or those with whom we disagree, but is find ways that we can try to communicate. Can we find ways to find points of agreement? Because we are called to live with one another. We are called to be part of one body of Christ. It doesn't mean that we should overlook sin and wrongdoing and hatred, but it does mean that as we fight them, we should not become like those we oppose. That we should remember that each of us is a child of God, beloved, claimed at our baptisms, whether as an adult or a child, and claimed also by our church, by our community, by our brothers and sisters. So my hope going forward is that we will be attuned to the Word of God, to the movements of the Holy Spirit, that we will follow the way of Jesus Christ as we consider what has happened, as we frankly consider this epiphany, this revelation of who we are. And we should be troubled, but we should also know that as fallen as we might be, and each and every one of us is, we are still claimed by God.